Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study. And we're here waiting for you to come on in. Yes.
We praise God for this day that He's created, and we're grateful and appreciative for Him including us in His plan for this day. This is indeed the day the Lord has made, and so we're determined, in spite of, to rejoice and be glad in it. We're grateful for each of you who will join us tonight for this study of God's Word and for this opportunity for us to have our faith to increase. And so we're extremely grateful for each of you who view this particular time together with us. Lady Kim calls it Monday Manna, and indeed it is. And so we're grateful for what God is doing through His Word, and how His Word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so let us know that you're getting a clear signal as you're joining us. We have several platforms, of course, our streaming side as well as our Facebook Live, and we welcome you tonight. We're going to be talking about prayer tonight, a very powerful topic. You can talk about that all year long, isn't that right, Lady Kim? And so we want to just talk a little bit about that tonight. Our primary scripture will be in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we're going to focus on a couple of verses there to highlight some of the things that many times we begin to question about God in terms of our expectations, and then our behavior as it relates to how we respond to what God says. God says a couple of things, and we're going to talk about that tonight as it relates to prayer. That was one of the topics that we had on the list of things that people wanted to discuss. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
Right.
And so we want to talk about the yes, the no, and the weight of God as it relates to prayer. And so, but before we do that, somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal, and that you can hear us as we prepare for tonight. Of course, this is the Lady Kim Show. We're going to change the name of it probably in the next week or so. But we want to make sure that you're getting the clear signal as we prepare for tonight's study.
What are we going to do with him? What are we going to do with him?
All right. Let's say our prayer as we prepare for tonight. God, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence, and we realize and we're confident in the fact that in you we live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly that we're nothing without you, and that we can do all things through the very Christ that strengthens us. And so now, God, we pray that you would just speak to us through this time together tonight. We pray for each person that will join us and participate in this study as we talk about prayer. And we ask now, dear Lord, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We love you and we honor you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said, amen.
Amen.
All right. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal. We see several people coming on. Tell us that you can hear us well and that the signal is coming through. Well, Lady Kim, another exceptional day on yesterday as we gathered at ATOP and as we prepared for what God had in store. And God showed up in a mighty way, and he blessed in abundance. And we're humbled by the fact that he's included us in his plan for how he blesses the people at ATOP. Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit. I saw you were taking some notes yesterday. I didn't hear very many amens coming from on that side, but I anticipated that you were busy trying to get your notes. Did you save any notes yesterday?
I did save some notes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So for those of you who are joining us, somebody let us know. I see we got some people saying the signal is clear. Tell us a little bit about the sermon in terms of what you heard, and we already gave the people advance notice that you were going to say, I didn't get to my point. Right?
That's right, and you did.
And I didn't. That's right. All right. This is a series, though, right?
It is.
Okay, all right.
And I know you'll get there next week.
Okay.
Or Sunday.
On Sunday.
Yes.
That's right.
All right. And so, you like you said, you're doing a series on Stay Salt. Uh-huh. Stay Salt, from a book that you have, and I don't remember the author's name, but it's a Stay Salt, and the title of your sermon was Stay Salty, My Friend.
Yes, Stay Salty, My Friend.
Stay Salty, My Friend, mm-hmm. from Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16. And for those of us who've been in Bible study or Sunday school for any amount of time, we know that that scripture talks about how we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, mm-hmm. how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, mm-hmm. that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so you talked about salt.
Okay.
And you know, salty can mean a lot of things.
That's right.
But in this case, it doesn't mean mad, because the slang for salty means, you know, that you're upset or that you're mad.
Right. That's
if you're
right.
salty about something, that means you don't like something, or okay. something didn't go your way, or you're mad about. But in this case, it does not mean that.
Okay.
Salt means that our witness as disciples of Christ is important.
Okay.
And that our lives, our witness, our testimony should make life more palatable.
That's good.
Or should make others see the light of Christ in us.
Okay.
Because that passage of scripture talks synonymously about salt and light.
That's correct.
They both do important tasks. Mm-hmm. You know, salt gives flavor, light gives illumination,
okay.
so that we can have direction.
All right, you preaching pretty good right through here, Lady Kim.
All right,
that's
so
good.
Again, our witness as disciples is important, because we are to be light and we are to be salt or savior. We have lost sight on what gives us power. That's what you said,
okay.
I believe.
You're right.
We've lost sight on what gives us power.
What is it that gives us that power? And I know that I don't mean to interrupt you, your review, but I know you're going to get to that, right? What is it that gives us the power?
The light of the world.
The light
Jesus.
Of the world.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And that power comes from God to enable us to let our light shine, as well as to season mm-hmm. this world through our witness.
Right.
Would you agree with
Absolutely.
Me on that?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And you said also that we have lost our ability to be salt and mm-hmm. to stay salty.
Okay.
You know, some of us, we start out as salt when we first get saved, but somewhere along the line, we lose our saltiness.
Wow.
We lose our savor. And I don't know about you, I've never had salt that's lost its savor. Maybe because we use so much salt that it doesn't have time to lose its saltiness or its savor.
Go ahead.
But I did buy a great big old thing from Sam's, a pink salt. And
that's
I
right.
noticed that we're not using it very quickly.
That's that
Himalayan pink salt. Yes, it's supposed to be better for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, after a time, if we don't use it, if it will lose its saltiness. But that's a conversation for later on.
No, that's good, because, you know, at Reverend Tunstall, and I believe he's on, Dr. Tunstall from Los Angeles, we talked about that in terms of how, you know, that salt on the popcorn is not necessary, but for many is important for the flavor, and how oftentimes people can put extreme amount of salt on their popcorn.
Too much. Mm-hmm.
And others can put just the right amount that is palatable to them. Wouldn't you agree with me on
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
And so I used that analogy, and he helped me understand that, because each time I cook mine on the stove, and everybody's aware of that, that's heard me talk about it, and I'm probably one of the best popcorn poppers in Tennessee, if not in this, what side of the world are we on? Southeast? in the southeastern area.
I think we're west, southwest.
Probably. If we had a cook-off, I would probably be, I would have to drop my day job and go in the
I wouldn't go that far.
But here it is. Over a period of time, you know, just like when you cook various dishes or various meals, after you cook, you get in those hundreds and those thousands, then it becomes almost, you know, like you don't need a sampler or you don't need something to measure, but you know just the right amount that needs to go into a cake or whatever else it is that you might be cooking. Am I talking like I know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And so
about popcorn.
About popcorn. That's where I'm going, but I don't know nothing about cooking. And so it is with when you use your salt. For me, mm-hmm. I use just enough. Mm-hmm. And with the Himalayan pink salt, Lady Kim indicated, it doesn't have as much of the, I don't know, it's not as
salty.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so they say it's healthier for you mm-hmm. because many times people can use too much salt mm-hmm. and it can damage their pressure will go up and all kind of other things. But this Himalayan pink salt, and we're not trying to advertise for them. We're not getting any kickback from talking about that. But it works. You have to put a little bit more, but it's kind of a fine grain. Is that the right word mm-hmm. for it? That you use. But it works, and it's not as damaging as the regular salt would be.
Okay.
Is that right?
That's what they say.
Okay. So we haven't been using it. Have we been using it a year yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I slipped it in on you.
Yeah, you did. And I could tell, but it still does the job. But the part that we're trying to really drive home is that just as salt has a flavor for the different ingredients that we use, God has so designed it that us as believers have something that we need to give this world that make the flavor of this world more palatable to Him, so that others will be able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we belong to Him and that He belongs to us.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay. Any comments there that as we're moving through?
Dr. Tunsil says salt is sprinkled, not poured mm-hmm. on our popcorn.
Okay.
And I think that's for most things that it is sprinkled because you don't want to use too much. Now, I do know in certain instances where it is poured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people now have saltwater pools mm-hmm. Where salt is poured into the salt cells in order to generate chlorine. I grew up in Chicago, and we would pour salt on the ice or the snow to
okay.
help you know, make it melt faster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there are instances where you can pour salt, but when we talk about seasoning, we sprinkle. That means that a little bit can
right.
go a long way.
That's good.
And so God wants us to be a reflection of His love for us. We are His evangelists to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that means we are to be like salt. We're to sprinkle a little
That's
Jesus
good.
Here and
mm-hmm.
sprinkle a little
That's
Jesus
right.
there.
That's right.
We should not be intimidated by sharing the gospel with others. And God has given us everything that we need in order to be His witness to others.
Mm-hmm.
So we need not be afraid to witness about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The gospel is worth sharing because God is a God who is caring. And
okay.
He had another one too, but I didn't get that. I left it hanging there. So
okay. In terms of just one of my comments that I was
yes.
making. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. And so when we stop being sprinklers of salt in this world, then we lose our effectiveness as witnesses, and we are not living up to the mandate that God has placed upon our lives to be salt and to be light.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the latter part of that verse says that men might see your good works
mm-hmm.
and give God the praise, honor, and all of the glory. He said in another passage that if I be lifted up
yes.
from the earth, that I'll draw all men unto me. So in terms of us being salt and sprinkling, we have an obligation and a responsibility not to keep our witness to ourselves.
Amen.
Many times we get in a habit of wanting everything for me, my four, and no more. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And we lose sight of the larger picture, because this whole pitch, this whole thing about outreach and evangelism, winning the loss for Christ, winning the loss at any cost, and bringing in the harvest, is our responsibility, because God has done so much for us. He's He's done too much for us to keep it to ourselves.
Amen. Yes,
and so
has.
We have to let our light shine. We have to be salty in terms of being the season for this world. And we have to make sure that we don't miss opportunities to be reflections of the goodness and the grace of God throughout our encounters with people that we come in contact
Amen.
With.
Amen. And we know that there's no greater news than the gospel truth.
That's right.
You know, and the salt that seasons, the salt that savors, is serving those who are in need, coupled with our care for our serving, is our embodiment, how we embody Christ
in
our lives.
Right. And we talked, I just shared a little bit about my dad and how his whole witness and his whole demeanor. And I don't think he was intentionally trying to do something so that I could catch an idea of what that was all about. I think that was his lifestyle.
That was his character.
That was his character.
That was his character.
And
yes.
Every time he met a person, everywhere he went, mm-hmm. he would introduce himself, and he wouldn't just go directly into trying to, you know, snatch them up, but eventually, when the conversation was getting ready to close or whatever, he would talk about their relationship with God, and did they know God as their Savior, mm-hmm. and would they want to accept Him? Did they have a church home?
Mm-hmm.
And even though it was a small church in Macedonia Christian Church in Birmingham, he was able to win, I think, a lot more souls to the kingdom than were perhaps even there in the in-person worship experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many times, as I indicated on yesterday, we think it's our service and it's our outreach, helping, meeting the needs of people, and that's enough. But we need to couple that with our verbal expression of faith in terms of engaging people where they are,
mm-hmm.
so that they can understand that we're doing this because we are connected and attached to a God who's able to heal, deliver, and set free.
Amen.
And He's able to bring us out of darkness into the marvelous mm-hmm. light.
And I think Dad fully understood the mandate or the mantle that was given to him by God,
mm-hmm.
and that was to introduce and win others to Jesus
That's
Christ.
Right. That's right.
A lot of people, a lot of ministers, and a lot of pastors, they want to put on a show.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you have in your church on Sunday? How many members you get? Doc, how many members you got, Doc? You know, it's not about how many members you have. It's how many members you have assisted in entering the kingdom of God through the witness, through your witness, through your invitation to them that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of our lives. And so your dad didn't have a great physical church with a lot of bodies, but I bet he helped usher a lot of
That's
souls
right.
into the kingdom of God
That's
because
right.
of his witness and testimony.
That's right. And so I think, Lady Kim, once we have that kind of encounter and engagement with people, eventually, if they are really serious, they will ask you the question about where you belong.
Mm-hmm.
And so we welcome people to come to ATOP. We see God moving in a powerful and a mighty way. And we hope and pray that as a result of people sprinkling their salt, that someone will see the light of God in them, and they too will come to see and find out more about this God that we talk about.
Amen.
And so I think it also, Lady Kim, will help us in terms of our efforts, because there's an old Chinese or proverb that many hands make light work or something like that.
Work light.
Okay, yeah. What did I say?
Light work. Well, it could be either way.
Yeah. I don't know it verbatim, but I'm just kind of thinking about it as I'm talking. What is it?
Many hands makes the work lighter.
Yeah, okay.
Many hands makes work light.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry.
Or it could be light work. You know?
Light work,
yeah.
Either way. But the point is that the more people that we have who are interested in being involved in the witness of the local church and the outreach efforts that we are trying to do, I think it makes it the burden less for those who are always having to do, always using their time, their gifts, their talents. And it's a small number, that 20-80 rule and whatever they call it. We just get a small percentage. But we're about getting people involved and winning the harvest. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Mm-hmm. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest will send forth more laborers into the vineyard. And so the harvest is out in front of us, and we have to make sure that we are participants in reaping that harvest for the kingdom of God.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Tunstall. Dr. Tunstall says that we make flavor, we add flavor to
add
the
flavor
kingdom.
To the kingdom.
Yeah. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. And so we have to witness at any cost. Win
That's
and
right.
lost at any cost.
That's right.
And that others will be attracted to God by the example that we set. So we have to be very careful, because I've heard somebody say that our lives are the only Bible some
wow.
people will ever read.
Wow.
So we want to set a good example. We want to be a good witness for Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right. So we ended with a challenge in prayer and encouraging the congregation to invite at least 10 people. We started with 10 and we went down to 5. We went on down 3 and perhaps 2 and 1 to church on Sunday. Now, here's the key to that. If you don't invite them, then they won't come. Mm-hmm. But if you do invite them,
they might
come.
Just might.
They just might come.
Yes.
And so we're having a prayer breakfast this Saturday. We're already up in our numbers in terms of how many are going to participate. I think we have over 150 people who are
yes.
already
the
registered.
Tickets. Uh-huh. Yes.
Tickets purchased. But we're anticipating perhaps 175 people being present for that prayer breakfast. And this will be a great opportunity for you to introduce your visitor to the church. And we hope and pray that you'll be praying with us that God will add to the church daily such as should be saved. He said he would do that, and his promises are sure. But we have a responsibility in being the salt and the light
yes.
so that people will understand what it's all about. Isn't
yeah,
that right?
That's right?
This world is in a dark place, Reverend.
Yes, it is.
And we need some salt. We need some salty believers.
Salty folks.
Some salty folks out there. We need some people allowing them light, their light to shine in such a way that people might come in out of darkness into the marvelous light.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That was part 2 right there already. So we'll probably be on part 3 Sunday. Now, I'm going to finish part 2 and try to get to my points for this coming Sunday, if the Lord says the same.
I'll be looking forward to it.
All right.
So we're going to move on to our topic for today.
Anything else about the prayer breakfast you want to share for those who are viewing?
No, we're geared up and ready for the prayer breakfast on Saturday. There'll be a special speaker.
Who's going to be the speaker? Are we bringing somebody in from out of town?
From a long, far away
place. Germantown, Tennessee.
All the way from Germantown, Tennessee. Yours truly is the speaker. So, yes, I'll be speaking on Saturday about prayer being an anchor.
Wow.
Prayer being an anchor.
My.
Yes, Lord. So that's what I've been
kind of working with, prayer as an anchor.
All right. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be various people praying about different situations.
Yes.
And we're going to have breakfast. What's the menu going to look
I
like?
I think it's waffles, chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles.
Okay.
So we'll be ready.
No, chicken, when you say chicken and waffles, that it perhaps will be some wings attached.
Oh, I'm pretty sure
there
will.
Wings. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm, but it won't just be wings. That's what you're saying.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I let them handle it. So.
Okay.
Yes. I let them plan the menu. That's. We just make sure that things are off and running and in the right direction and people are in place to do what's necessary, and I let them handle the details.
That's it. Well, we're excited about this prayer breakfast, and we have been around ATOP preaching and teaching and talking about prayer, and so this is really kind of bringing everything together. You can't stop talking about prayer.
Never.
Prayer can really be the Bible study for the rest of the year and next year.
If you stop talking about prayer and if you stop praying, you might as well stop being a Christian.
Ah, wow. That's good.
That's our lifeline.
That's right. That's prayer, our lifestyle.
Our lifestyle.
That's right.
Yes.
It's our connection to God. And God wants that relationship. It's our relationship to God. And when we stop talking to God and stop talking about prayer, then we're losing the whole purpose of our relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, what we're going to do tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about we're going to continue to talk about prayer. Any other comments we need to be aware of?
I like what Sister Sharon is saying. She said she was so touched on yesterday's service, it made her examine herself and her life. She was able to invite a young man to church on Sunday. As she talked, he told her that he lived right down the street.
Mm.
She believed his name was Jalen. Praise God. Well, we'll be looking forward seeing Jalen.
That's
Jalen.
Right. That's
Amen.
Right.
And all you can do is talk and introduce him, you know, to this man that we know as Jesus. And you never know how people will respond or how they will feel, you know. We're not trying to bring everybody to ATOP. We hope they will come to
Absolutely.
ATOP.
Absolutely.
But if they don't, then they've been introduced to something much greater, not to ATOP. ATOP might come and go, but Jesus never will fail.
Wow. That's great. That's great. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about what are our expectations when it comes to
prayer
tonight. And then what answers are we really anticipating
mm-hmm.
From God when we pray? And then how do we react when the response that we get is not what we were expecting from God?
My Lord.
So all of that is part of the process, because sometimes people get a little upset with God when the answer that they were anticipating is not does not be the one that he gives them.
Yeah, the one they want.
The one they want, mm-hmm. right. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, because Matthew says, asking it shall be given to you. Mm-hmm. That's in Matthew 7 and
yes.
7. Seeking you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you.
Hallelujah.
And so we got to make sure that we stay in constant contact and in constant relationship with God
mm-hmm.
through the communication of prayer, and not to lose focus of the relationship over our results mm-hmm. in terms of what we're expecting in prayer.
Well, you know, sometimes people get mad at God.
That's right.
If they don't get what they want. But, you know, I was reading today, and it says that God can answer prayer by saying no,
mm-hmm.
because I love you too much.
I mean,
that's just not what you need right through here.
Okay.
He can say yes, but you'll have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
God can also say yes, but it's not going to be what you expect.
Wow.
God can also say yes, and he has a whole lot more to go with.
That's going to be attached to that.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And he can say yes. I thought you'd never ask.
Mm. It was waiting in the wings.
Just
all
waiting
the time.
In the wings. Just
what that. About the no? You said wait and yes.
Well, no is no. I love you too much. No, mm-hmm. you just can't have it.
Okay. God, you think that's part of what God would say for an answer to our prayer?
Well, you know, sometimes, and I don't know exactly what scripture it is, but sometimes it says that we ask amiss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're asking for things that are not in God's will.
That's right.
You know, and at that point, God says no. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not my will. That's not my promise. That's not my purpose for your life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, no, you can't have that.
That's good. That's good. That's in James where he talks about we have to be mindful of what we ask for, because many times we ask for that which can be more harm to us.
Absolutely.
Than good to us. And I think, Lady Kim, people become distracted by what they anticipate God's answer to be.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they fall out with God mm-hmm. when they don't get the kind of answer that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely. And, you know, I saw something else, too. Rick Warren says something
mm-hmm.
that was right on point. Rick Warren says, when the request is not right, God says no.
Wow.
When the timing is not right,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God says slow.
Oh, okay.
When you are not right, God says grow.
Grow. You might need to save that for
Hallelujah.
Saturday.
I know, right? When the request is not right,
yeah.
God says no. When the timing is not right, God says slow.
Mm-hmm.
When you are not right, God says grow.
Grow. So that all of that has implication
yes.
in terms of development, getting in proper relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
understanding His will for
mm-hmm.
our lives,
mm-hmm.
and then making sure that our requests line up with the will that God has set in place for us.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And I think several scriptures really kind of brings focus to that. One we're going to talk about tonight, and we probably will carry this on even on next week
mm-hmm.
if we don't have enough time tonight. But one scripture in particular, we want to lift up is the one found in 2 Corinthians 12,
mm-hmm.
and just two verses 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
And Lady Kim is going to read that, and then we're going to kind of open up, because there are different types of answers we've already established that God may answer our prayers in ways that we do not expect. And so we want to make sure that these two particular passages, two particular verses, help shed light on that.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 8. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this whole passage, for those of you who are already familiar with it, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he was asking God to remove this thorn that was no doubt hindering his capacity to be who he wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, God's answer was for him and for us many times is that my grace is sufficient for you. I really don't have to take you out of the situation mm-hmm. in order to bless you. I don't have to remove the thing that you are struggling with in order for you to see my glory.
Amen.
You follow?
Amen.
You follow yes. what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so there can be strength through our struggles.
Mm-hmm.
There can be purpose even in our pain.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think people miss that with their anticipation
mm-hmm.
of what they want over
right.
what God wants for them.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
So there are different types of answers. God may answer our prayers in ways we do not expect. Instead of him granting Paul's request to remove his suffering, he provided assurance that his grace would be enough. And so, you know, I don't know who this is for tonight. Somebody might be on the call and you're struggling and you're asking God to remove something. You're asking God to do something in your situation, and you have not really heard the answer that you want to hear.
Right.
But God is doing something even in the midst of what you're going through. Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Mm-hmm. So one of our prayers should be, Lord, teach us how to wait on you.
Yes, Lord.
Teach us, oh God, not to get ahead of you, not to be in such a hurry that we want to override what you are trying to get done in order to bring to pass your glory in our lives.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right. That's right. That's good. I like that. He's always working for our good.
That's right.
And so we should never get discouraged,
mm-hmm.
because God is always working to grow us and to bring us into alignment with his perfect will.
Okay. And then one of the other things that happens, and you've already indicated it, is that God also includes a no or not yet in mm-hmm. his answer
mm-hmm.
to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the not yet is critical, because many times we can move ahead of God and get into a situation that will cause more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
And God is trying to bring something to pass in us
mm-hmm.
so that we can be ready for what he's trying to get done through us.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we don't wait on God, if we don't, you know, the Bible says he will give us the desires of our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all of those desires have to align with his will
mm-hmm.
in terms of what he's already made known through his word.
Mm-hmm.
And when we align ourselves with the word and we seek his will, then when we get to that place of release, it's not an issue, because if God says wait, then we say, okay, God, I know you're doing something in me to get me ready for what you yet
That's
have
right.
in store.
That's right. That's that second point from Rick Warren, said when the timing is not right,
mm-hmm.
God says slow. So he slows us down.
He slows us down.
He slows down the process. He puts us in a kind of holding pattern.
That's right.
Until the timing is right.
Absolutely. And so the other part, I think, of this whole passage, we're just reading through 2 Corinthians. Lady Kim has already read it, the 12th chapter, verses 8 and 9, how Paul recounts his plea to God to remove this thorn in his flesh. And God's response to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was given clear indicators that I think will help us in us understanding how we can't rush God. We can't get ahead of God. We have to wait on God, and we have to listen to God's voice. You said, Rick said something else about how important it is to trust the timing of God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's part of what you had indicated mm-hmm. earlier. But, you know, there's strength through our struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And many times the very thing that we don't want to endure is perhaps the thing that is needed the most in order for us to get to the place that God is yet preparing for us.
Right.
And then there's also purpose behind our pain.
Oh, yes, and there is.
When people are going through, they really don't understand that the pain is more evident than the purpose.
Mm.
And so the pain is probably more obvious, you know, in terms of the struggle or the situation than the purpose. But know that God places us many times in the incubator and prepares us for what he's trying to get done, so that when we come out, we'll come out as pure gold, and we will be ready
mm-hmm.
to receive that which he has in store for us.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on that?
Yes, I'm getting ready to look up a scripture now. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. I had written that down earlier.
Okay.
Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered.
Mm.
In this way, God qualified him as the perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey.
Okay.
So when we go through trials and tribulations,
right,
that helps us to acknowledge when we come through God's no or God's wait mm-hmm. in life. You know, sometimes God's answer to our questions come through our trials and tribulations.
That's
and
right.
So that's what this particular scripture was talking about, that even though Jesus was God's son, that he learned obedience from the things that he suffered.
That's good.
Jesus suffered on the cross.
That's right.
Jesus suffered carrying that cross up Golgotha's hill. Jesus suffered when they beat him and spat on him and put that crown of thorns on his head. Jesus suffered humiliation and humility when he was stripped of his clothes. Just imagine being stripped of all your clothes and having to walk stark naked carrying a wooden cross. That's humiliation. So Jesus learned obedience from the things that he suffered.
That's good. That's good. So we are talking about how important it is for us to understand expectations when mm-hmm. it comes to prayer, and how many times what the answers we are anticipating might not be what God is trying to get done in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Right.
And then how important it is for us to know that we have a responsibility to wait on God, when God releases the blessing, and he can release it right now, he can release it just like that.
Mm-hmm.
That means that everything that we have done and everything that he has done in us has prepared us mm-hmm. for what he is getting us ready mm-hmm. to walk into.
Mm-hmm.
And many times the thing that we think is time for us now might not be the right time, because God has not finished doing what he needs to do in us to get us ready for that blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there might be an opportunity where he just says, no,
mm-hmm.
Look, Kim, my grace is sufficient for you in this whole process. You got to trust me. I've heard you. You've asked me 3 times. But he says that, no, my grace. Why are you looking at me like that? He said, no, my grace is sufficient. Are you going to cry? No crying on Bible study now. He said that my grace is sufficient for you in this situation.
Absolutely.
And when you come out on the other side, you'll understand it better as a result of what I was trying to get done in you
mm-hmm.
that you didn't see.
Absolutely.
You understand it?
Yes.
And
it's not
I'm not just trying to, and you know, that was not the purpose, but it's for all of us, because many times we find ourselves in situations that we want to advance quicker than God wants us to move forward.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I talked about that suffering piece, because none of us want to suffer.
That's right.
And, you know, the minute we have a trial or a tribulation or start to go through something, all we want is for God to remove the pain, to remove that situation,
right.
to remove that suffering. But we learn something
mm-hmm.
in that incubator of suffering.
That's right.
We learn something. There is purpose, like you said, in that pain. And so when we learn to, quote unquote, accept that pain
mm-hmm.
or accept what we're going through,
right.
Then it's then that God can do his greatest work in
right,
us.
Right, right. So here's what I really see that God is trying to say to us as a result of this, and this is a continuation, is that we have to focus on our relationship with him over mm-hmm. the results.
Mm-hmm.
Many times we look at the results of what we're anticipating and fail to attach ourselves to the relationship that God so desperately wants with us.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said earlier, if you stop praying, then you might as well stop being a believer.
Right.
You know, because the whole essence of prayer is being in proper communication with God
mm-hmm.
and in relationship with God. And I think many times we get into the situation where we're looking for almost like a transactional thing to happen
mm-hmm.
to, when God is saying, no, I'm trying to bring something out of you, and I'm trying to do something in you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to bring you closer to me as a result of this, so that when you go through another situation, and there will be other situations that you're going to have to experience. When you run up against another storm, and believe me now, this is not going to be the last storm that you're going to go through. James says, count it all joy, when you go through trials and tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is what worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work. Let God do his work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
That's something.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So we can develop a deeper appreciation and a deeper relationship with God when we stay connected to the power source.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And we stay connected to that power source through prayer.
That's right.
And this Saturday at the prayer breakfast, I'm going to be talking about prayer.
Okay.
And not only praying to God, because, you know, sometimes we get to running off at the, my dad used to say, stop running off at the mouth. We start running off at the mouth, and we forget to do something very, very important. Stop, sit down, shut up, and listen.
And listen.
Listen to God.
Right.
Listen
right.
for God's voice.
My.
Listen. Remember Mother Briscoe?
That's right.
Mother Briscoe used to holler out in service, you better listen.
Listen.
You better listen.
And you can hear over every other everybody else.
Oh, my Lord. We miss Mother Briscoe.
That's right. She said, listen.
She said, listen. You better listen.
That's right.
We forget to listen for God.
My.
We so busy praying, asking God for this and asking God for that. And God go here and God go there and God get this person and God... You know how I feel about that person. But when is the last time you stopped to listen for God's voice?
Isn't that something?
And you not only hear it tangibly or audibly, you hear it through His word. You can hear it in a song.
That's right.
You can hear it in a child's voice.
That's right.
You can hear it in the drunk on the street.
My.
If you what? Listen.
Listen.
Yes, Lord.
We hear you, Reverend. So... 2 Corinthians, this 12th chapter, for those of you joining, we're certainly grateful for each of you participating and being a part of this time together, talking about the answers that we can anticipate when we're praying to God and how important it is to be in proper relationship with God so that if the answer does not agree with what we want, we know that God is still working on our case.
Yes,
he said in his word that he would never
leave us nor forsake us.
He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end.
Always.
And so if you're still breathing and you're still above ground, God is not done with you yet. He still has a work to do in you.
Yes, Lord.
And sometimes he puts us in situations that help shape us and mold us. And he'll leave that affliction in us so that we can understand something about his grace.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient.
Yes, it is.
His grace will see us through.
Yes, it will.
He will never put us more on us than we could bear.
Yes, Lord.
You have some other comments there?
Yes, Sister Vicki Malone said her mother used to tell her, Vicki, sit down somewhere and listen for God's word.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And that's important. We need to listen for God's word.
That's it.
What
that's
God
it.
Says. Amen.
That's it.
Minister Loretta says, repeats that scripture, be still and know that I am God.
That I am God.
Amen. Keep Hallelujah. On praying, Crystal.
That's right.
Keep praying, Crystal. My niece is
Keep
only
trusting
from
him.
Chicago.
That's
Keep
right.
praying. Whatever you, ha, San Diego.
Hey.
Whatever you've been asking God for, keep on praying. Keep on
That's
listening.
Right. That's right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
He will show up.
Yes, he will.
And he'll show up right
now. He will never leave us nor forsake.
That's right. He's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
So this passage, Lady Kim, reminds us that, reminds believers that answered prayers is not always aligned with our expectations.
That's right.
You agree with me on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
But instead, it invites us to a deeper relationship with God. And I think for those of you who are on tonight, you did not know the topic, but you are now engaged in a conversation about prayer and how God uses that to align his will to be connected to our will, our will to be connected to his will, I should say, and puts us in deeper relationship with him where his strength can be made perfect in our weakness.
That's right.
You see what
yes,
I'm saying?
Lord. Yes, Lord.
And so we're weak. We're fragile. We don't completely understand the whole picture. But God does.
Yes.
And he knows just how much we can bear. And we have to trust the timing of God in our situation.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord,
oh, yes, Lord,
shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. So our only plea might be, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. So part of what we need to ask God to do and what we need to ask God to instill within us, patience and a desire to wait and to listen for his voice before we take off.
Amen.
What Hallelujah. Did Dr. Tunstall say? He had another.
Oh, Dr. Tunstall added on to what right. I said. Right. Well, what Rick Warren said right. when I said, when the request is not right, mm-hmm. God says no. When the timing is not right, God says slow.
Uh-huh.
When you are not right, God says grow.
Right.
But when everything lines yep. up, now you
it's
can
time to
flow.
To flow.
He added that flow.
That's good. It's good, isn't it? I think it's
yeah,
good.
Now you can flow. I That's like good. That, Dr. Tunstall.
Did you write
Thank
that out
you.
There?
No, and I'm going to
yeah,
write
you
it
write
right
it
now.
Yes. You got to go back through all of this and find it, because all of that's going to, God's going to speak to you in terms of how to put all of that together with what you're already preparing. But others need to hear that word mm-hmm. and understand, because people get frustrated with God. They walk away from mm-hmm. from God, and they feel empty, and mm-hmm. they start seeking after the things of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind,
yes.
that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, here it is, and perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be fooled by the tactics of the enemy.
Right.
The thief cometh not but to steal, kill and destroy. That's John 10:10. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life
yes.
and have it more abundantly. So it's relationship over results.
Amen.
It's all about staying connected to God and making sure that you go deeper in him and align your will with his will. And he will give you the desires of your heart.
Oh, yes, he will.
Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're going to get ready to close out tonight. And we're certainly grateful for each of you on the call tonight, and for those who will view this particular study by playback. But we want to see if there are any requests that any of you might have, and you go ahead and jot those down, and we want to have a word of prayer with you as we prepare to close out tonight. And don't forget now, we will be having our prayer breakfast this Saturday, and we're encouraging at 9 o'clock, and we're encouraging all of our members to be present and to invite someone to come. And don't forget about the challenge that was extended Sunday for us all to be actively being salt and being light and encouraging others to participate in what you're excited about. If we have the good news, we need to share that good news, because you never know what people might be or what they might be going through.
Amen.
And just a word, a word might help bring them out of their situation and shake them loose from the attack of the enemy on their lives. What
Amen.
Other comments do
Amen.
You have?
Well, Crystal says something that I think was worthy for our closing tonight.
Okay.
She says, storms without God will break you, but storms with God will build
wow,
you.
That's good.
So we are all going to go through storms.
That's
in
right.
life.
That's right.
Without God, it'll break us.
That's good.
But with God, it'll build us. Hallelujah. God, we
Glory.
Thank you tonight for
yes,
building
God.
Us up where we're weak.
That's right.
And torn
That's right.
down.
Absolutely.
As we go through the storms of life.
Couple of prayer requests coming in.
Can we still get tickets for the prayer breakfast? Yes, ma'am. I believe Minister Loretta, I hope we'll have a table for those who do not have tickets on Saturday to pick up tickets when they come in.
Right.
Amen. So you can get tickets.
And we're
going to
set up
in.
For a little bit more than what we already have. So yes, by all means.
Okay. All righty. And so we have prayer requests that are now coming in. So if you have any prayer requests, please pray for the Memphis Shelby County Schools nursing and health and services department, we need to pray for Memphis Shelby County Schools.
Absolutely.
It is turned upside down right now, but you know what? God is faithful.
God is faithful.
He's going to see us through this thing.
He's going to see us through.
Hallelujah. We need to pray for everything about Memphis Shelby County Schools. Prayers for Dr. Butler's brother-in-law, Henry Musgrave, and the loss of his daughter. Brother Robert Jefferson's uncle in Holly Spring passed a couple of hours ago.
Wow.
We'll be praying for you. Praying for the Johnson family. Also prayers for Brother Al Blanks, Minister Al Blanks and his family. His aunt passed away, and that balloon release and memorial services this coming Saturday in St. Louis, Missouri. On yesterday, Sister Betty Kelly let me know after service that her mother passed away. And so, Sister Kelly, if you're on, please give me a call. Please, please, I need to for you to contact me. And then Dr. Murray and the Murray family and the loss of your aunt.
That's right.
Your father's youngest sister, Thelma Murray Myers, went home to be with the Lord. And we found out right before Bible study that that service will be held on Friday, August the 3rd in Birmingham, Alabama.
It's Saturday, I believe.
Saturday?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Saturday, August the 3rd.
I believe it's on a Saturday, yes.
Okay. And so, again, prayers for all of our bereaved families. Sister Vicki Malone says her brother-in-law, Leslie McDonald, in the hospital with blood clots in his lungs.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be praying for Brother Leslie McDonald. Amen. Amen. And I want to write all of these down. All right. All right. If none others, we'll go to God in prayer on tonight.
Yes.
Precious Jesus, how we love you. We lift up our hearts and minds to you in prayer tonight, God. God, we pray for all those who have requested prayer requests on tonight, God. We lift up Sister Vicky's brother-in-law who's in that hospital. Break up those blood clots in that lung
Thank you, Lord, in the name
of Jesus. We pray for those who've lost loved ones, oh God. We pray for Brother Jefferson in the loss of his uncle, God. We pray for the Johnson family as they prepare for the home going. We pray for Brother Henry Musgrave in the loss of that daughter. God, we ask that you would just touch his heart right now. We pray for Brother Minister Al Blanks and his family as they lay their loved one to rest. We pray for Sister Betty Kelly tonight, God, in the loss of her mother. We pray for the Murray family, God, in the loss of that aunt. We ask, God, that you would just do something special
in Memphis Shelby County Schools. Yes,
God, you know the work that has gone in for all these years, and now things seem to be in a tailspin. But God, we just lift up the district to you today, God. Right the wrong, oh God. Straighten out the crooked, oh God. Bring the high mountains low, God. Those who are struggling, oh God, to make ends meet. Those who have been terminated. Those who have been given demotions. Those who don't know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. God, give us clarity
on
what it is that we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to go and the direction we're going to take this district. Now, God, we ask that you be ever present tonight. God, I lift up my sister Crystal Harper to you, God. You know all about her. You made and you created her, God. So as she goes forth, oh God, do a new thing in her life, God. Do a new thing in all the Harper's lives, God. We thank you today, God. We bless you and we honor you. Now, oh God, we pray a special blessing on our pastor tonight. We pray a special blessing on Anointed Temple of Praise. We pray a special blessing on the prayer breakfast that's going to take place on Saturday. Oh God, rain down your power and glory in that place. We thank you today, God, for overflow. We thank you that there will be more than enough.
We
thank you today, God, that everything will be done decently and in order. We thank you tonight, God. We bless you and we honor you, God. We pray, oh God, for the presumptive Democratic nominee,
yes,
Vice President Kamala Harris, as Hallelujah. She goes forth, Hallelujah. Oh God. We pray that the walls of destruction for Project 2025 or whatever it is, God, is going to come tumbling down, God. Crush, oh God, the evil that's trying to raise its ugly head in the United States. Oh God, we ask that you run the race that has been set down before us. You, oh God, make the crooked places straight and bring the high mountains low.
Do it, God.
You, oh God, put the devil back in his place. You send him back to the pit of hell from whence he has come. And we thank you tonight, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing,
Hallelujah.
And all that you will do. We love you.
We love you,
we
God.
We bless you. We thank you. Heal those that need healing. Comfort those that need comforting. Sustain those who need sustenance, God, and right the wrongs that have been done. We bless you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God. Hallelujah.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining Bible study. See you next Monday. See you at the prayer breakfast Saturday, 9 o'clock.
That's right.
You won't be
disappointed.
Disappointed.
That's it.
Bless you.